First Corinthians chapter number 9, 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 tonight, and this is going to be something pretty simple, but I hope you'll get a blessing out of it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. A brother said a while ago to run your clocks back Saturday night, but I've learned I don't do shortcuts. I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and do that. Amen. That's the right way to do it, brother. That's the right way to do it, man. I've learned as a student in Clarksville, you can't do shortcuts. And man, I'm telling you what, so come 2 o'clock Sunday morning, I'm going to wake my whole family up and we're going to go outside and turn the clock back on the truck and everything else and we're going to go back to bed, amen. So Brother Ennis, you got a student that don't believe in shortcuts, man, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I want to read verse 13 and 14. We'll get a thought and let you go. Bible says, do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Three times in these two verses you'll find a concept of a giving out and a taking in. First time you see that is in verse 13. The Bible says, do ye not know that they which minister about holy things, that's the giving out. The Bible says they live of the things of the temple that's taken in. And let me say tonight that the Christian life is a constant giving out, a constant taking in. Amen. I know that many times from the pastor's perspective, seems like he's always here giving out. But I know that Brother Ennis has to get alone. He has to get away from everybody and he has to get alone with God. He has to take something in so he has something to give out to you. And then you that are faithful, seems like many times we're always on the receiving end. We seem like we're always taking this stuff in. But let me tell you, there's a world outside of this building that's dying and going to hell. And they need some people that will give out to them what we've taken in here. Second time we see that is verse number 14. But I want to go back to the third time you see it's the last phrase of verse 13. They which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. I want to focus in tonight, if I can, for the next few moments on one word in verse number 13, and that's the word wait, W-A-I-T. Many times in Scripture, when we find this word wait, it literally means maybe a waiting for something, an anticipation of something to happen. But here, this word wait does not carry that meaning. This word wait here literally means to attend to as a servant. In other words, tonight it would be like this. If we were to go to a restaurant that's good, you get there, you're going to find two types of waiters. The first group of waiters are going to be those people that's standing outside. They're twiddling their thumbs and they're waiting for their name to be called. That's not the wait this is talking about. But once we get in there, you're going to find another type of a waiter. And they're going to be those people that's serving those tables. That is the waiter. That's what this word wait carries. For the next few moments, I want to leave a thought with you on the subject. God wants a waiter. God wants a waiter. I know we think about a waiter. We think about the restaurant business. I've had the privilege to eat in a lot of places. Some of the things I didn't know what I was eating. But I've had the privilege to eat in a lot of places. But I do know one thing. I don't care where that place is at. There are three things that can make or break any restaurant in America. Number one is the quality of the food. If you go to a place and if you get bad food, if you've got good sense, you probably won't go back there anymore. Now, if you don't have good sense, you're going to go back the second time and have another experience with it. I remember this happened to us back in last September, about 13, 14 months ago. We went to IHOP. I always wondered what IHOP stood for. After that experience, I come to the conclusion that IHOP means International House of Poison. We got there, little David, my little three-year-old at the time, he had ordered what they call these little cheese sticks. Well, they brought these cheese sticks out, but they forgot to do something important. They forgot to cook them. I can't believe Brother Ennis is laughing. It's not funny. They didn't cook them, man. I'm telling you right now. We broke them off, and the ice chips literally fell off from them.
So we flayed the waiter down, the waitress, and we called her back to the table. And we said, look, y'all didn't cook them. And so then my wife, she ordered these chicken strips. It's about four, I think it was about five of them that she got. Now my wife, she's really got the gift to gab at a table. Not in front of people, but at a table, she's really got the gift to gab. And my wife, she was gabbing and a-talking and a-yacking so much that she had ate three of them before she realized what was going on. She gets into the fourth one, and lo and behold, she stops and she says, something don't feel right. She looks in it, and they didn't cook that one either. It was still raw in the middle. International House of Poison. You would have thought she would have learned her lesson. But about 2 weeks after that experience, we were right up the road here in Clayton at Bojangles. And she is craving a Bojangle chicken filet biscuit. So she goes and she orders a chicken filet biscuit with cheese on it. Well, fortunately, there was nobody but me and her in the car. We've been married for 18 years, therefore we don't have much to talk about anymore. So she only got about a bite or two into that, and she realized that was raw too. I take it back to inside Bojangles. I take it back in there, and I motion for the boy to come to me because I didn't want to embarrass him. He said, did we forget to put the cheese on? I said, no, you forgot to cook it. He then asked the most brightest question that anybody could ever ask. Do you want another one just like it? I said, man, you are absolutely crazy. No, I don't want another one just like it. I want the next one to be cooked. But I'm saying if you get bad food, that can break a restaurant very quickly. Another thing that can make or break that restaurant, not only the quality of food, but I believe the price of the food. Now, sometimes people come up to us, Brother Ennis, they say, we want to go out and eat with you. So we'll follow them, and I tell you what, now they pull us up at this place, and we'll go out and get in that place. And the first thing that strikes me when I get inside that restaurant is this: the lights are very, very dim. Now, if you go to eat at a place and the lights are dim, you better have some money. And then you begin to listen out, and they've got all this soft, classical music playing. And then the waiter comes to the table, and he or she is wearing a bow tie. You know you're in trouble. They pass out the menus, and we open up the menu, and honest to goodness, the cheapest thing on there is $22.95. I'm thinking it's five of us. Now, me and my wife, we've been in this thing long enough, Brother Ennis. We know how to communicate up under a table. I can guarantee it. We got to find out if they've got the bill or if we're going to get the bill. Because if the West family's going to get this bill, we're going to get one plate, and us five are going to share off that one plate. But I'm just saying, the price of that food can make or break it. But I'll tell you another thing that can make or break that restaurant. It's the service of the waiter. I don't care how good the food is, how cheap it is. If you get bad service, you probably won't go back there anymore. I look around tonight, I see empty pews. If you're a member of this church, that should trouble you that there's places that people could be, but they're not here. I ask myself the question, could it be the quality of the message? I would say no. If you were to search the Bible through, there's only one theme that runs from Genesis to Revelation, and it's a very simple theme. It's about a God in heaven that loves you so much that 2,000 years ago he gave his only begotten son to die on the cross of Calvary. Amen. And if you'll just repent of your sin, believe that he died and rose again, friend, you can be saved 100% sure of a home in heaven one day. Nothing wrong with the message. I think about the price. I'm glad tonight that salvation is free. Religion will say do. Religion will say do. But I'm glad that salvation has already been done tonight. It's so free. The poorest person in this county can be saved if they only want to be. It's free. Could it be tonight that the reason the churches aren't filled up is because of the service of the waiters? You begin to talk to people and invite them to come to church. They say things like this. Well, you know, I know so-and-so that they go over there to that church, and boy, if that's your definition of a Christian, I'm just as good as they are. Service of the waiter. Let me give you four little bitty thoughts tonight on the waiter that God wants. Number one, I believe God is looking a waiter tonight that's willing. I believe he's looking a waiter tonight that's willing. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." I tell you what, I like the attitude that Isaiah had. I'm sure Isaiah, if he would have been here tonight, he would have said, God, there's brother so-and-so back there. Boy, he's a good man. He's a good Christian. He'll do a great work for you. Hey, there's sister so-and-so over here. She's a godly lady. She'll do a great work. But Lord, here am I. I want you to give me something to do. Send me wherever you want me to go. That's the waiter that God's looking. He's looking for somebody that will just make their self available. In Acts chapter 9, verse 6, "And he, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do?" I believe tonight that it would make the job of the church, the pastor, a lot easier if everybody would just get involved and do a little bit. Many, many churches we go into, it seems like there's only just a small handful that does anything while the majority sit down and do nothing. You realize tonight that God's really not impressed with your ability. Your ability may impress man, but it doesn't impress God. God's looking for some people that'll just say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. God's looking a waiter tonight that's willing. Number two, God's looking a waiter tonight that's not only willing, but accurate. I don't know about you, but when I go out to eat, I want that waiter or that waitress to be accurate with my order. Now, I will share with you my pet peeve. It ain't got to be yours, but it's mine. We can agree to disagree on this, but I promise you I'm the one that's right. When I go, I love, preacher, it is, I love sweet tea. I absolutely love it. I know that you go up north, they don't even know it exists. I found out this, they do not know it exists in New Mexico either. But I don't want my sweet tea corrupted with lemon in it. Who said that? You just messed up the whole thing. If you want it to be unsweet, just get unsweet tea to start with and you'll be happy with it. But when I tell that waiter, brother, and so I tell that waiter, that waitress, and I say it really slow and really loud so they can understand it. Sweet tea, no lemon. How in the world can they get that one wrong? But you know what happens more times than not? Here comes my sweet tea with half of the lemon in it. I'm telling you, that is borderline them losing a tip. And I asked myself the question, how in the world could they mess that up? I couldn't have made it no more plainer. And then one day it hit me. They messed it up the same reason that we're not accurate waiters on God. They weren't listening. Some things in the Bible are just plain as day. People say, boy, I wish I understood more. Hey, listen, you need to be make sure, listen, you just need to make sure that you obey those things that you absolutely know to do. I think accuracy is very important. I believe tonight we need to be accurate when it comes to our message of salvation. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm telling you what, there is only one road to heaven. There's not many roads. There's only one road to heaven. I don't care what Joel Osteen says. It's only one way to heaven, and that's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not through the Pope. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through the Baptist Church. It's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We better make sure that we're accurate when it comes to salvation. I think we need to be accurate when it comes to the Scriptures. Deuteronomy 28:14, the Bible says, and thou shalt not go aside from any of thy words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left. I'm glad tonight that I hold a good old King James Bible in my hand. That's been settled many, many years ago. I have no doubts about it. This is the Word of God. Amen. Better be accurate in the Scriptures. Then I think we need to be accurate when it comes to our serving. In Joshua 24:15, Joshua said this, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I believe we could have looked at that family. I believe we could have said without a doubt, there's a man, there's a family that's serving God. You see, Joshua did not ask little Johnny what little Johnny wanted to do. Little Johnny, I know you got a T-ball game tonight, but they're having church tonight. What's your wish? He said, no. He said, little Johnny, I know there's a ball game going on, but you're not going. We're going down to the house of God. He made the choice for his family. We need to be accurate when it comes to our serving. Think about this thing of serving. This may come as a shock to some of you. There's only one person in this church that knows God's will for my life. Who do you think that might be? You're looking at him. God says, now Marvin, got something for you to do. I better make sure that I'm accurate in doing exactly what he wants me to do. Brother Dennis, there's sometimes I go out to eat. Now, if I go to Cracker Barrel, I never look at a menu because I know what I want before I go in there. But if I go somewhere I've never ate there before, whatever, I will take time to look at a menu. And normally there's one thing on that menu that just jumps out at me. And I'm going to tell you the truth, before I can get my mouth on it, I'm literally foaming at the mouth. I tell that waitress, and by now keep in mind that she's already messed up my tea. So I said, maybe she can't hear, but maybe they can at least read. So I point to it, and they write it down. I tell that waiter, I want that. They go off, and about 2 minutes later, here they come back to the table. They said, I'm so sorry, we don't have that. But we've got this. Well, this may be something, Brother Ennis, that I actually lack, but I didn't want this. I wanted that. This is a substitution for that. God says, now look, this is what I want you to do. I want you doing that. I look up to heaven. I say, now God, listen, that's not fair. You know I can't do that. That wife that you gave me 18 long years ago, if I do that, then we're going to have to move away. And God, you understand there's no Walmart over there, and she's going to be miserable. She's going to make my life miserable. God, I can't do that. But what I can do, God, I can do this. I can go to Fellowship Baptist Church. I can be Brother Ennis's number one man. Whatever he needs me to do, I'll make myself available. That all looks good. It all sounds good. But if you're doing this, when God wants you doing that, you're not accurate. You're substituting in your serving. Number three tonight, not only is God looking a waiter that'll be willing and accurate, but number three, he's looking a waiter that'll be ideal. That word ideal, I looked that up in the dictionary. It means the concept of something is perfect. A standard of perfection or excellence. It means something that's completely satisfactory. 1 Peter 1:16. The Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I'm holy." He didn't say be holy if it was convenient. He just said be holy. He didn't say be holy if everybody else was doing it. He just said be holy. 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." 1 Thessalonians 5:22, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." 2 Timothy 2:19, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Hebrews 12:1, "Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." God's looking some waiters tonight that will be ideal. One thing I normally do when I go out to eat, I find myself going to the bathroom and washing my hands with good, hot, soapy water. You see, I've been at church and I've shaken about 30 hands. And I know good as I'm standing here that one of those hands that I shook, before I shook it, achoo! And then I go right on, sit on down, get my food in my hand and put it right in my mouth. And then 2 days later, achoo, I'm doing the same thing. "Well, must be something in the air." No, it was on your hand. And you put it in your body. I'm just saying, that's what I always go to the bathroom, I wash my hands. I think it's a good habit to get into. I challenge you to do this. Everybody now has got the flu shot. The flu, I don't take one. I don't want the flu. But everybody now has got the flu shot. And in just a few weeks, there's going to be a lot of coughing, a lot of sneezing going on around here. I challenge you, before you put something in your hand to put in your mouth, make sure your hands are clean. It may shrink your prayer list down just a little bit. But you know, every time I go in that bathroom, I wash my hands. Somewhere in that bathroom, it may be on the wall, it may be on the mirror, on the back of that door, there's going to be something that's going to say this. Each employee must wash their hands before returning to work. If I'm in there and in walks an employee, I just stay around a few more minutes. No hurry. You know why? Because I'm going to make sure that they do what they're supposed to do. You realize tonight that when we say we're Christian, there are people that watch us to make sure that we do what we're supposed to do. It's not my opinion that counts. It's not Brother Ennis' opinion that counts. But it's what this Bible says that matters the most. God's looking some waiters tonight that will be ideal. Fourthly tonight, and I'll be done. God's looking a waiter tonight, some waiters, not only willing, accurate, ideal, but number four, he's looking a waiter that'll be timely. I don't know about you, but when I go out to eat, I do not want to wait a long time for my food. If I want to wait that long, I just run on over to Walmart. I know you ladies, you see a big old super center and y'all literally melt. But them super centers, Miss Betty, they don't impress me a bit. I don't care where it's at. They'll have 40 cash registers at the front. And they only run 3 of them. That makes no sense to me. the line is backed all the way up to the back. And the cashier, they don't seem to get in a hurry. After all, they got to be there 8 hours. You might as well be there with them. So if I'm going to wait that long, I just run over to Walmart. But when it comes to a restaurant, I just don't want to sit that long to get my food. Ephesians 5:16, the Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Jesus said in John 9:4, the night cometh when no man can work. You know why we're not timely as waiters tonight? Because when God puts it on our heart to do something, and we've got a green light, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's what He wants me to do. You know what we'll do? We'll spend 3 or 4 years getting the opinion of everybody else. When God put it on my heart for us to go full-time in evangelism, Brother Dennis, I did not call one pastor and ask them what they thought about it because it really didn't matter. God had told me to do it. It was up to me to do it. I'm saying we need to be timely tonight. Let's suppose tonight that we were working at a restaurant. Maybe the day has been very, very slow. Oh, we're just standing around and just talking, and maybe we'd rather be at home, and all of a sudden, the President of the United States walks in. I know many times we may not agree with the President, but we ought to respect the office that he has. You see, the President that day, he could have went anywhere, but he didn't go anywhere. He came right to where you were at. And he looks at all of us standing around, and it's almost like he looks at no one else, but he focuses right on me, and he says, I want you to serve me. You realize what an honor that would be to be able to say that I got to wait on the President. Boy, I got to serve the President of the United States. You realize that would probably never, ever happen again in your lifetime. But I'm glad tonight, church, that I've got the chance to wait on somebody more important than the President. Hallelujah. Listen, His name is wonderful. His name is Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's Jesus and He's God. And I get a chance to wait on Him tonight. Hallelujah. You realize serving God tonight, it's not an obligation. Friend, it's an opportunity. I'm glad tonight that I don't have to take my family 30,000 miles a year on the road. I'm glad tonight that I get to do it. Why God would ever want me to serve Him, I don't know. I have no idea. Tonight, it's not about being an evangelist. I'm just a waiter. Brother Ennis, it's not about being a pastor. It's about being a waiter. It's not about being the musicians at the church. It's about being a waiter. It's not about being a Sunday school teacher. We're just a waiter. See, when it comes to serving God tonight, regardless of what people may think, there are no big I's and little U's. We're just a simple waiter. Tonight, God wants a way to preach. I'm done.